Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi has formally declared victory over ISIS in Mosul. ISIS had held the city since 2014 when it declared a caliphate there. The offensive to retake it began 9 months ago. Ben Watson, news editor at Defense One, has produced a comprehensive look at the battle. He joins us now to talk about it. Ben, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, Magna. Great to be here.
Well, first of all, you've called this the largest military campaign in the world in nearly 15 years. So describe the scale of what has happened in Mosul.
So in Mosul, we were looking at an operation of almost every estimate puts it north of 100,000 troops that were collapsing. They're all allied with Baghdad to take control of Mosul, retake control of the city from ISIS. The last comparable-sized operation would have been the invasion of Iraq in 2003, and that clocked in at about 130,000 American troops. Now, of course, the big fundamental difference is that you have it was about 98,000, you know, Iraqi troops of various stripes, Sunni and Shia, and only about 500 or so Americans, a couple French, and so on.
Wow. So this campaign on Mosul, enormous by any stretch of the imagination. But as you write, those 100,000 troops were supported by air cover from half a dozen nations. And yet, obviously, this was not a cakewalk in any stretch of the imagination. So what are some of the lessons that we've learned?
I think the main lesson is how to deal with a deluge of IEDs, of vehicle-borne improvised explosive devices, or suicide car bombs in particular. This conflict marked a use of those on a scale that had never been seen before, to my knowledge. We're talking about a frequency, even on kind of a slow day, of about 5 car bombs being thrown at the coalition any given 24-hour period. Those became a lot more dense and a lot more numerous, as you might imagine, as the city was falling more and more, and ISIS was isolated in a smaller number of neighborhood blocks around West Mosul.
Wow. So car bombs, and also you write about how ISIS fighters had artillery, conventional and improvised artillery as well?
They had quite a few factories that they'd come up with on their own. A lot of these ISIS fighters had come from, or some had come from, the Iraqi army back in the Saddam Hussein era. So you have a lot of officers who brought some expertise, kept it with them, and evolved and brought it to the level of homemade munitions where they would forge the metal themselves, shape it into a mortar, and then, of course, add these munitions for their drones that they had as well, opening up a whole new type of weapon, basically, that had not been seen before anywhere in war.
You also write that ISIS continued to use suicide bombers, including many more children as well.
It's a disturbing fact that I saw as the war was grinding on and coming to a close. Just the numbers of pictures that ISIS's own propaganda channels would pump out, celebrating the martyrdom, as they put it, of their fighters. And yes, absolutely. It was getting to be something that I sort of had a sense of. And then I saw a researcher named Charlie Winter point this out in a longer report about in February. The age of these fighters just was descending, 20, 18, 15, and then some look like they were as young as maybe 11 or 12.
So, Ben, let's circle back to a question that we asked earlier, and let me just phrase it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, can an enormous effort like this be mounted to take back every ISIS stronghold in Iraq? I mean, is that one of the lessons we learned? Or did we learn that, you know, it's going to be hard to root out ISIS using these methods because it takes so much manpower, so much air cover, so much coordination between Iraqi and coalition forces?
Well, I would be surprised if an operation of this measure developed in the coming even years, probably. The scale of this is so large, and the fact that they, you know, this was the number one city, the largest city that ISIS held anywhere across the world. So to get that kind of attention and that many parties to focus on one common goal is incredible. And the fact that if you could try to take that model and divert it over to Huija in Iraq, where ISIS still has a presence, or over to Tal Afar, or even farther a little bit west on the Euphrates River, where it crosses Syria into Iraq, that would be hard to imagine because of everybody understood Mosul was so important. It was the city where they announced the caliphate. So to see this model replicated elsewhere is I don't expect it.
Well, so as you pointed out, because Mosul is so important, this victory then for Iraqi forces is incredibly important. But, you know, we've also seen the fight against ISIS already change significantly sort of on a broader level, right? I mean, haven't they already switched tactics to carrying out or inspiring attacks in the West?
In a way, but that's something that that the coalition and the U.S. military has known for some time, and certainly that the U.S. military has been sort of grappling with various iterations of that in those insurgent sort of ways of striking back. It's still going to be quite a bit of time before the whole thing is eradicated. Nobody is saying that'll happen anytime soon.
Well, Ben Watson is news editor at Defense One. We have a link to his analysis of the Mosul offensive at hereandnow.org. Ben, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Magna.